Next, Van the Man.
Yep, Sir Van. Yeah,
Sir Van is absolutely
I couldn't do a list of pick Irish artists without including Van Morrison.
It's nearly a prerequisite.
Yeah, and then I've been very lucky now. Van Morrison has such a strong fan base, a fan club.
Yeah,
and those guys have really embraced me as an artist as well. And I literally have got people from all around the world.
How do you think that happened?
It's a couple that I know in Belfast, Lynn and Al Bodkin, run the Van Morrison fan club, where they ran a party anyway for it last year for his 70th birthday, and they invited me along to sing at this fan party. And then it was literally, there was something like 200 and something Van fans, or Vanatics as they're called, from all around the world. So you have people, Vanatics, so you have people from Australia, New Zealand, America, Germany, all coming to Ireland. They travel the world just to see him. And I saw him myself for the first time this year, so it was all yay. But yeah, they've been hugely supportive, so I couldn't leave Van the Man.
Oh, that's a lovely story. Yeah. That's incredible. And which song did you pick?
I picked Into the Mystic. I have a real soft spot for his spiritual songs, and there's a lot of depth in his writing, so I love this.
Rugby club where there's discos, and they used to play Mary every Saturday, and we're all going absolutely mad to your song. And it was one of the anthems of mine growing up.
Yeah.
And then when I saw this online, I was like, oh no, we have to play this, because I had the whole orchestra in the background, and it's just fantastic. It is an anthem.
Yeah, it is. What's just one of those songs, you know? It's and as a songwriter, when I started, that was my dream, was I was going to write a song that was going to be bigger than I am. And we pulled it off with that one.
It's an amazing song. Now, I bet you get asked this question all the time. Who's Mary and Frank?
Mary was actually a girl lived. I lived on a hill called Courtney Hill in Newry, and there was a girl a couple of years older than me who used to walk home, and I would pass her. I was stalking her. Really, I was in love with her. It was the first time I was in love with anybody. But I was, unfortunately for me, I was like 15, and she had started working. She was, working on the bike. Just a bad idea, you know what I mean? Because whatever, women generally, younger men, it's hard to get them interested in younger men, but at that age, you are really on a hiding to nothing. And and then she started going out with a guy, and I was heartbroken. He had a beard and a moustache. I'd been trying to grow a moustache, but it wasn't working out for me. And he had a car. I had a bicycle. I mean, you could see just where it was all ending. So I got bitter about it, and I turned him into an abusive philandering adulterous guy, you know what I mean? Because I think he had to be a complete idiot. So there was all Mary wanted to have some sense and basically go out with his 15-year-old. That's really what it was. The first song I wrote a lyric for, I wrote it when I was 16. I cut to when we're making songs to Tempted, and at that stage I'm in my sort of early 20s, and Declan were making the record, and the record was had a lot of tempo-y stuff on it, not that much acoustic stuff on it. But we had one song called Washing Them Down that was acoustic, and Declan says, "Come on, we're going to need another acoustic song just to balance this up, because you only got one acoustic song." And I said, "I don't know what." And then he said, "What about that song? You know, na 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 na." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, because if you can still remember it, it must have something. Let's record it."
Jagged Little Pill, I just went, oh my God. You know when an album hits you? I was just like, that's now, if I want to write like that. Because I'd only started to write really when that started to come out. So, yeah, it was totally the kind of, I want to be that angry and talk about life that honestly. Do you know what I mean?
And you were obviously playing piano at that time.
Playing piano from when I was about 8. So, I started writing when I suppose 11 or so. But, she was a massive influence, yeah.
But you didn't always stay in music at that time, did you?
No.
You went forward.
I moved out of music a bit, sometimes you just get frustrated with it, I went away off to college and sure, I was mental over there for a couple of years. I don't know if I did any music or I did a music degree, but I don't know how much music was involved in that. But I only really come back to it when I just kind of got myself feet back in the ground again.
Tell us about your next song choice.
My next song choice, this is a romance, this is a very smooch, what would you call it, smoochy one? For anyone who's in the need of a bit of love this afternoon, this is actually a song I discovered on Spotify just by chance on a playlist one day. I was listening to some mellowed out tunes. The artist is called John McLaughlin. The song is called I'll Follow You, and it was actually played at my wedding. In April, and well, I got married in April this year, so this is obviously very personal to me, but I think everyone enjoys it. It's a lovely song.
Doing a jig in the studio.
Yes.
Well, we nearly were.
Well, we were, yeah, and I clapped along, and I knew every single word of that, and that's going back a long, long time. But that's incredible music, and people take me, but how can you listen to one thing 1 minute and listen to that? But that's what it's all about.
That's nice up-tempo, though, kind of stuff. Yeah. Anyone who doesn't enjoy that.
But there's a story in it, and that comes back, I think that was from the 1700s that was written. And if you listen to the lyric...
It's still transcendent.
Well, it's filth. You know, it is absolutely. Listen, next time you get a chance, listen to it. Cooking in the kitchen, she goes into the kitchen with him. What happens next? I don't know. Just listen to the words. But it is. Listen, they got away with it because it's written in such a way that it's like a double entendre. You know, it's just you don't know. You know, it's like the fellow that went into the bar and he ordered a double entendre, so the barmaid gave him one.
So for anyone who knows Paul on Facebook, he comes up with these fantastic little posts, and they're very entertaining.
They are sent to me, you know. I steal them from people.
Yeah, you've stolen one or two from me before.
I'm coming clean now. It's,
but they are brilliant. It's good crack.
Some of the ones that people put up are just hilarious now. It's just,
the other thing as well, you're a postman. A postie.
Postie, yeah.
Postman Pat.
That's why. Do you think I mean to look this tired? You know, hello.
And you get a few selfies with dogs.
Yeah, well, all animals.
Mainly dogs.
Mainly dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Your customers.
Well, we're pet lovers, you know. You've got to be nice to the dog. You know, we bring yourself a couple of guys, bring biscuits for the dogs and make sure they're nice.
They're friendly.
Keep them calm, yeah. Because they look at me, they're not going to attack me. They look at me and say, look, here's a pot noodle. You know, around me. A quick snack.
And you're a musician as well. Tell the listeners about your musicianship. Well,